select merchandise. All socks, buy three, get one free. All kids' shoes, 25% off. And 20% off sale rack merchandise. Don't miss your chance to save huge now until December 6th at Brown Shoe Fit Company, corner of 6th and Commercial, downtown Emporia. Open Sundays 1 to 5 until December 20th. Some exclusions may apply. See store for details.
KVOE Live and Local. Good morning. 827, 31 degrees.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And we're pleased to be joined here this Thursday morning by Newman Regional Health CEO Bob Wright on the KVOE Sutherland studio line today.
Bob, good morning.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning to you both.
How are you so far this morning? How are you feeling?
Hey, doing fine. I'm an anomaly. I'm not having the symptoms that most people are, fortunate for me, but unfortunate. Most other people get it a little bit worse.
So what are the symptoms you've been experiencing, Bob?
Actually, the only thing I had was a scratchy throat on Monday, and then when I tested positive, I had a sore throat last night, and it's already gone. So,
how was the infusion process? Because you'd mentioned that you were going to take an infusion approach here to that yesterday.
Well, except for the needle, it was fine. Pretty much like sitting at home watching TV. So it was very well organized. The team down there is doing a great job. I know the volume's starting to ramp up there. Hopefully we'll be able to get adequate supplies. We're kind of just treading water with that right now. We're using it about as fast as we're getting them in. But again, as more people are going to have the opportunity to get that drug, we're hoping that Eli Lilly will be able to keep up with the volume.
And this is Bob Wright, the CEO of Newman Regional Health. And for those who might not know, we're asking Bob how he is. He did contract the COVID-19 virus, and this was out of the hospital, correct? Where you picked this up?
No, in home.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
You'd mentioned here, Bob, as we kind of get onto our official track of questions here about patient volumes. It seemed like the numbers had been spiking pretty hard for the respiratory clinic, also for the test line. How are those numbers, I guess, as we revisit things here for this morning?
Okay, the last 2 weeks, and I got updated numbers yesterday afternoon to be able to have this morning. So we've actually been averaging about 15. The reports I get don't always show patients that are tucked away on the outpatient side.
Okay.
Down in the CDU and in the isolation rooms down there. So actually we've been averaging about 15 the last 2 weeks. Good news, our travelers showed up this week. So I believe we brought in three more nurses, again, to help supplement the staff here and hopefully give them a little bit of relief.
And you're talking now about the inpatient numbers, is that correct?
That's
about
correct.
15.
That's correct.
Maybe you can explain the staff-based capacity. I know we've talked about it here quite a bit the last 2 to 3 weeks, but a lot of people, I don't think, understand that the actual number of beds available versus the staff-based capacity, and the two can be quite different.
Sure. I guess the way I would describe it is in kind of round numbers, but typically we staff one nurse to four medical surgical patients. With COVID patients, it varies. Again, it depends on the kind of support that they're needing, but right now we're typically putting them in our ICU rooms so that we've got them all in the same general area on the third floor. Just makes it logistically easier for us. But they can take, again, probably 2 to 1. So they cut our capacity about half per patient, as opposed to a regular medical or a post-surgical patient. So that's the issue. It's always fluctuating. So our nursing leadership has morning huddles and try to figure out where they're going to deploy the staff for that particular day. And again, that typically changes about 1 or 2 hours before the start of a shift when people call in, with issues going on themselves. So you can go in with the plans, again, yeah, the best laid plans, and depending on what staff show up, then we have to redeploy accordingly. But everybody's been pitching in. We've been able to keep up with the volume so far. We just hope that it'll start to subside here for a while so they can get a little bit of a break.
Well, Bob, they've been pitching in for quite some time. This has been with us for, what, 8 or 9 months now, and you've had a lot of people working long hours for a long time, and hopefully we can see some light at the end of the tunnel. But how do you think staff is hanging in out there at Newman?
Well, I have no doubt they're tired. We had a little break. Gosh, it's probably been 2.5 months ago is the last time we, didn't have a patient in the hospital. So it's just been a constant grind for them. It would be a little bit different if they could, come in on a Monday and not have any COVID patients, but that's just not likely to be the case. So they're supporting each other well. They come in for their teammates, and that's what's really carrying us through. We expect this to continue on through December at a minimum, because again, a lot of the things that are on the horizon as it relates to treatments like I received, we're not able to get the supplies we need to be more liberal with that. There are strict criteria that are required in order to receive the drug. You have to be over age 65 like me, or have other criteria that need to be met. And there's a committee that meets as those requests come in, and the patients are ranked based on that need. But again, as that becomes more readily available, hopefully they'll be able to liberalize that that outpatient treatment a little more. Of course, the vaccines are coming, but the reality is, even if we get them next week, it's going to be almost a month before those patients who are being vaccinated are going to have the antibodies built up to help combat that infection. It's two injections, roughly 3 weeks apart, for at least two of the drugs that I'm aware of. That look like they're the first in the pipeline. So that's going to be something that we won't really see a positive impact until probably summer. And hopefully by then it'll subside a little bit as people are back outdoors and not congregating indoors like they are right now in the winter.
Understood. Bob Wright, again, joining us, CEO from Newman Regional Health, here as our Newsmaker 2 segment continues. What is going to be the plan? Are things still in flux a little bit for how those new vaccinations from Pfizer and Moderna will be, cycled through the hospital here once you get those?
Well, we're ready. So we've got the refrigeration that's necessary to handle those. Again, the Pfizer drug's cumbersome. It's the minus 70 degree centigrade drug. I can't do the conversion in my head to Fahrenheit. But
it's cold.
I think it's something like minus 90, but that's tough for us. Fortunately, through the trust funds in our area that help fund our new pharmacy addition, where we do have that compounding unit now, we've got the capability to do this in our county. There's no other compounding pharmacy in Lyon County. You'd have to go almost to Kansas City to be able to do that. So we're fortunate here that we'll be able to provide that. The Moderna vaccine looks like it's lagging 2 to 3 weeks behind in the approval process. That one is a more workable temperature to deal with, and it comes in vials that have 10 doses per vial, and I believe that one's already mixed, so it's a little bit easier to handle. The Pfizer is good for large batches, so again, they're rolling it out. That'll be used in nursing homes to make sure that they're protected, and then they'll go down the priority list of first responders, essential healthcare workers.
Yeah, frontline healthcare workers.
Yep. And then hopefully by summer, they're predicting that they'll have an adequate supply of vaccines of various types for anyone who wants to be vaccinated.
Bob, you mentioned you have the freezer now for the Pfizer vaccines. How many doses can you house in the special freezers?
I believe it's 18,000.
Okay.
So they're roughly the size of the largest commercial refrigerator you could buy, but they're set up with shelves in them with little with drawers in them that the vials sit in. So if you think of a communion tray,
gotcha.
That's kind of what it looks like. The little
gotcha.
The doses are sitting in there, and I believe they come 10 to a vial as well. And but we have to mix them with a diluent. Think of it like sugar water or an IV solution, that kind of thing, to make it soluble so that they can inject it.
So that's fairly labor intensive then, huh?
Yeah, well, you have to thaw it. So, they're thawed and then it gets mixed. And it's only good for 6 hours after it's mixed. So we have to plan very well, yeah. Who's coming in. We suspect that with the exception of taking it to nursing homes where, logistically that's not as difficult to do as trying to do it at the fairgrounds. We'll probably have the people come through on a scheduled basis through the drive-thru. So I'm anticipating the area clinics, so those healthcare workers, the hospital workers of surrounding areas will come in through our drive-thru and be inoculated there. But we'll go to the more than likely to the nursing homes and do that on site.
Bob, you mentioned with the vaccines, you get vaccinated once and then you get vaccinated again 3 weeks later?
Yes, I think it's like it varies by the vaccine, but it's somewhere between 20 and 27 days for the vaccines that we're hearing about so far. And of course, with the one, and I'm forgetting, I think it was AstraZeneca. It's interesting, they found out it was more effective when the initial dose is a half dose. I think it got them up to about 94% effective. So that's why they do the trials. And even though it was a fortuitous mistake, that's how electricity kind of was invented. So you take what you can get and then move forward. So excited about it. Again, it's not the be-all for a while. It's going to take a while to get enough people inoculated. And it sounds like this may be a an annual inoculation process similar to the flu. So far, they don't have enough data to know how long the immunity lasts. And I know in my case, even though I'm positive now, I'm still going to have to get the vaccine because, as far as you know right now, if you catch it, the vaccine will do a better job of prevention long-term than the fact that you once had COVID.
Now, as far as the doses of the vaccine you get in, and we have to be vaccinated twice, is one dose one vaccine, or is one dose two vaccines per person? How does that work?
It's two per person. So when you hear the numbers of, if a million doses come out, that's good for 500,000 people. And the problem is there'll probably be a 20% no-show rate on the second injection, if it's like everything else in this world. So we'll be wasting a lot of those initial doses if people do not come back in and get the second dose. So we're setting up we've got a committee that's working on this right now. We need to modify our electronic medical record system to be able to accommodate these patients so we can track them and then know when it's time to notify them to come back in. So that's part of the requirement for being a dispensing site. So we'll have that ready, but still a lot of work to do between now and the next 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully when the vaccine starts to arrive.
Bob, we started, I guess, talking about the antibody treatments that you went through yesterday. Maybe you can give a little bit more perspective on, not only how the process works, but really, I guess, maybe some of the stats and I guess, the allocation plans here in the short term.
Sure. There are two medications out there, and I'm sorry, I forget the names, and I can't pronounce the one that I had. But so it's again the one I received is the monoclonal therapy. So that's one molecule. There's a two. I guess it'd be a biclonal. I'm not sure exactly how the nomenclature works, but. There's another drug as well that's available to us, and we're going to be using that on Friday to go along with the other one we've got. So they both work under the same concept. So I guess the way I would think about it, the virus itself has little spikes, little protein spikes on the surface that when it comes in contact with a cell, that pierces the cell, and that's how the the virus gets inside your cell. The monoclonal antibodies actually cover those receptors. So I guess it'd be like putting pie dough on top of a fork. So it keeps that sharp tine from going into the cell and gives your body a chance to create its own antibodies and not be overwhelmed, because the virus spreads very quickly within the body, and this just gives your own immune system a chance to get ahead of the game.
Yeah, so basically this will fuel the recovery, speed up the recovery process, Bob, hopefully?
Exactly, because, again, it stops the virus from replicating, while at the same time your own body's producing antibodies because it knows that there's an invader, within your bloodstream. So it's kind of dual purpose. It slows down the growth of the existing virus and then gives your own antibodies time to come in and finish the job.
Well, how many treatments have you provided at Newman so far, Bob?
I think we're approaching 25 or 30. So we're the second week into it. I believe we're doing it 3 days a week right now, 2 or 3 days a week. But again, we're going to expand that as we can get more of the medication, and we'll be able to do probably seven a day, something like that, routinely, once we can get ramped up like that. And then if we have a group that are going to be done, we certainly can add more staff. It's really a fairly simple process because it's under emergency authorization use. It's also part of the trial of the particular drug, so we have to follow the protocol strictly. But basically, they just start an IV. You're on monitors, a pulse ox monitor. You're on a EKG monitor. And then I believe it was the blood pressure was the other one. So once they've started the IV, you're there for an hour. They're checking periodically to make sure you're not having any issues. And then after the infusion's done in an hour, you stay there for an additional hour of monitoring, and then you're released. I believe it's very rare for there to be a side effect. But again, because it's they haven't fully completed the trials, they're not comfortable just having it done in a doctor's office or something like that. We've got a defibrillator there, because I think heart arrhythmia is one of the complications potentially that's been seen. Beyond that, I don't know what the potential complications are, but I know that the most important one is the fact that you could have an arrhythmia and might have to have an intervention to get your heart rate back correctly.
Bob, is it too early to add a success rate to this here locally?
Well, there are three things that that they judge as being a success. So starting with the most extreme, the patient did not die post procedure, so they did not continue on and develop a fatal infection. Return to the ER is the second one that's counted into that success rate. And then the last one, which is the most common, is not having to be admitted to the hospital. So again, it stopped the progression of the disease so that it did not develop on into a respiratory problem that required hospitalization or some other side effect. So it's 70% is what's come out of the trials so far with these particular therapies, which is very good. If it reduces the number of potential admissions by 70%, then, again, we'd only have four patients in the hospital right now for those that, would qualify. So it's exciting to have a treatment that's really designed specifically for this disease. A lot of the others, we've been using steroids and some of the other adjunct therapies really are to manage the disease. They're not doing anything to really slow the infection. They're there to stop the downstream complications that occur with the disease.
Okay. Bob, is there anything else that we're missing here as we wrap things up and kind of get a wrap up or look here at how things are currently standing here for Newman Regional Health?
Again, while we're not seeing a pause in the number of inpatients, and that makes sense because when you're positive, you know, we know within a couple of days. But if you're admitted, I think our average length of stays for the duration has been somewhere around 7 days with patients. So, again, we're seeing something that started to develop 14 days ago and turns into inpatients, and then they're going to stay for a bit before we're going to see that that flow work its way through. But, again, fingers crossed, hopefully we won't see a big spike from Thanksgiving and not see anything related to the Christmas break either. But that's wishful thinking. I suspect, again, we're going to see a spike here the last part of December going on into the new year, unfortunately.
I think you did want to take just a couple of moments and to thank the community for their support. How's that been, Bob?
Oh, they've been very supportive. And it's certainly nice that, our staff are basically sequestered up on inpatient units and in the ER and in other ancillary departments doing their work. Don't get to see the light of day for 8 hours and or 12 hours for many of them, and then they go home to their families. So it's really hard to get a feeling of what's going on in the community working like this. But when there's something that arrives at the hospital that's been sent in from the community, it's a big deal. You know, it's, 50 boxes of pizza show up, those came from the largesse of the community. So we certainly appreciate those. We appreciate all the staff. I can tell you there's no more dedicated staff here than the housekeeping staff at Newman Regional. They've kept us safe from disease spread within the facility for years. They see that as their, again, contribution to healthcare, and they do it very well. I've sat in their meetings. They really are up on the latest techniques of cleaning, and that's what ultimately keeps us safe. We're talking about hand washing and making sure we keep surfaces clean and those type of things. So it's all the way from housekeeping, again, through the ancillary departments. Everybody has a role to play, and certainly physicians here are a big part of that and have really helped lead us through the maze of conflicting information that we have to deal with on a daily basis right now.
Bob, thanks again here for your time here today. Best of luck here with the hospital. Good luck getting back to normal here as soon as you can with the COVID-19. And I really appreciate you spending some time with us here today.
Well, there's a lot of people that think I'll never get back to normal, but I appreciate the kind thoughts. And you guys stay safe.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Right, Newman Regional Health CEO Bob Wright. Yeah, he's at home.
Mm-hmm.
Battling COVID and still, of course, on the pulse of all the activities at Newman Regional Health. It's working remotely.
Yep.
Has become commonplace.
Yes, it has.
Here so. In 2020. It is 8:48. Stay tuned. We'll check the headlines from ABC Local Headlines and Newsmaker 3 coming up.
712,000 new claims for unemployment benefits last week. It's the first time in 2 weeks that number has gone down, but it's still a historically high number. Tomorrow.